Blog Talk Radio.
Introducing Renee Wiggins, your certified health and wellness coach, author, and host of Being Fabulously Fit for God's Kingdom Blog Talk Radio. Renee provides a roadmap to staying healthy and fit spiritually and physically. She believes God gave us a gift, our temple, and it's ours to nourish, feed, and honor. Be sure to also catch her on ResultsByRenee.com. That's ResultsByRenee.com. And now, here is Renee.
Hello, 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 everyone. This is Thursday night, and I know I played Tuesday's theme, but this is Renee Wiggins of your host of Being Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom. But on Thursday, it's called Transformation, Give Up the Struggle, where I get authors to help you, to inspire you, to motivate you, and to encourage you to help change your lives to live a more positive life. So their stories will help engage you to be more positive, more fulfilled. So let's play Thursday theme.
Renee Wiggins is a Christian life coach and host of Transformation Give Up the Struggle, where she helps to equip and empower you from the inside out so you can share your story in order that others may grow physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Well, tonight, I have the one, I call her the famous person, Tyrora Moody. She introduced me to being an on-web presence. She is my mentor, you can say my book coach. She does 101 things. She is fantastic. Oh, you just got to meet her. She has so many books out there. It's unbelievable. I don't know how much time or when she finds time to write. It's just that every time you look around, she's cranking them out. But this particular book, oh, I could not put down at all. I had to go all the way to the end. I'm serious. I started around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I think it didn't really finish until 4. But let me go on and talk about her. Tyrora Moody is the author of the soul-searching suspense novels and the Serena Manchester series, Victory Gospel series, and the Eugenia Patterson mysteries. As a literally focused entrepreneur, she has assisted countless of authors like me with developing an online presence via her design and marketing company, Twybin Creations. Popular services include virtual event planning, social media management, book trailers, and book covers. She is also the author of the nonfiction book, The Literary Entrepreneur Toolkit, and the host of the Literary Entrepreneur Podcast. Tyrora won second place for the 2014 Yerby Award for Fiction. She is the 2013 Urban Literary Awards Debut Author Winner and the 2013 Urban Literary Awards Mystery Thriller Suspense Winner. Tyrora is a member of the Sisters in Crime, American Christian Fiction Writers. So let's welcome Tyrora Moody. Let me get her on here, and bam. Hi, Tyrora. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me. That was such a great introduction, Renee.
Thank you. You're the one and only. You really had got me started and started thinking differently. I mean, I really have grown since I've known you. And everybody out there, when you hook up to her, believe me, you really grow. So first of all, let's just tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, like you said, I'm an author. My first passion was writing. I kind of strayed away from it for a few years, but I've always been a creative person, so I love to draw and do design work, which you will see what I do at Tyrora Creations, and I'm just a teacher at heart, so I enjoy teaching people and watching them grow.
You do. You really do. You probably, I want to say, the wings beneath our feet. You make us soar from one level to the next level. But believe me, people, she be cranking out these books, and they are beautiful. The covers are beautiful. Everything about it is just overwhelming. So this new series, the book that I read one Saturday and started at 2 o'clock and ended at 4, I could not put it down. I could not believe, you know how you see it on TV and you hear other authors that are suspense theory, thriller novelists, but you, when I said, oh, I know her, I can't believe she wrote this. This is good. How did you get involved in writing this Eugenia Patterson mysteries?
Eugenia is one of my favorite characters. She is an older character. She's older than what you would find in most mystery novels. And she's a representation of the mentors that I have in my life. I look forward to getting to her age where she kind of doesn't really, she cares about things, but she's grown in who she is. She knows who she is, and she's enjoying this second stage of life, being retired, where she can kind of glide into this role of being an amateur sleuth. So she's just a lot of fun to write.
And I got that from you. Was it a character in your neighborhood? Was it a family relative? Because I just, the way you pieced her together, it was just so vivid in my mind.
Combination of a lot of mentors and women that I know. So you can probably find a little bit of her, a little bit of the women that I know in her.
Now, this is a woman, you know, in the past you have other, I guess, way back in the, like, say, early 19th centuries, where you have a lot of mystery female artists, but they sometimes had to go in a different pen name to get their books, and now things have changed. But why did you choose a woman as, the main character and not a man?
I think I felt most comfortable with that. I do have some books where I do have kind of a female and a male character. They kind of play off each other. But I don't know, Miss Eugenia is just that kind of character. She holds her own, and she does have a male counterpart, Amos Jones. But she just, this story was all hers, so she gets to be the one to lead mostly all the next couple of books that I hope to do. She gets to lead, be the lead character.
Yes, when I think of Eugenia Patterson, I think of the elderly women in the neighborhoods are always snooping or peeking out of the window. You know, the kids gravitate for, you know, baking goods and everything. She knows everybody on the neighborhood. She knows what's going on. So that's why I gravitated to Eugenia, because she just seems so real, you know. But with this character, this main character, you, she has type 2 diabetes. Why did you include that in your novel there?
Well, for one reason, I think it's kind of become a bit of an epidemic in the past couple of years with obesity and people not really eating correctly. And Eugenia is definitely one of those people. She's a cook. She's a Southern cook. And so one of the things with her is she has used food as a comfort for her. So she's always had weight issues over the years. So I kind of wanted to show and demonstrate, which is, you know, realistic. A lot of people go through this. What happens when you get to a certain point and that weight becomes an issue and you were probably already pre-diabetic, but you didn't really do anything about it when you should have. So she kind of rolled on into that being a type 2 diabetes. So now she's at this stage of, well, how do you take care of yourself? How do you try to live with this and improve yourself where maybe you can make some of this kind of go away? So I wanted to show that. Plus, it runs in my family. It was something that I'm familiar with as well.
So in your book, what are some of the ways you show Eugenia taking care of her diabetes or not taking care of her diabetes?
Well, I mostly try to show that when she's stressed. Oftentimes, when you're under stress, you may not think about the fact that you didn't eat in a particular amount of hours, so your blood sugar levels can gravitate. They may go down. So I might show her when she's having a low blood sugar moment and she'll stop and she'll remember that she hasn't eaten yet. Or I'll show where she's thinking about what she's going to eat for that day, where she's consciously thinking about something she wants, but she knows she needs to go for something a little bit more healthier. And I also tried to, in this particular book, it was kind of winter, but in the other book, it was summer, so I tried to get her concentrating on the exercise regimen. So those are some things that I kind of subtly put in there to let people know, yeah, she's trying to take care of her health and her diabetes.
Yeah, I like how you rolled that right in there when I was reading the first book. I said, okay, Ty's putting this in, giving out message to people. So this book, because it has, a second theme or center around diabetes, are you going to be targeting people more, women around that age with diabetes? Are you going to go to, like, AARP meetings and tell them about Eugenia?
Yes, I have looked into that. I haven't done it in a while, but I have gone to health fairs where it was women-focused, and I actually featured Eugenia on the table pretty predominantly and let people know, you know, about her diabetes. She's a fictional person, but I thought she would be fun at a health fair for someone to pick up and relate to.
Yes, that is true, because I visualize her. I don't know if it's done down where you live at, but here the Oriskins got three characters, and they represent the president. And so they have these big heads, and they're running around the track and everything. So I visualize her like, I guess, a Walt Disney character at health fairs, you know, telling diabetes, like on a stage. So are you going to turn this book into a movie or a play or do like a little short things, you know, travel around the country telling about diabetes?
Yeah, that's something that has been on my mind. I definitely would like to see in the future, and I thought about doing some casting of who would actually be Miss Eugenia, either in a web series type format. I have looked in trying to see if I can do screenplay writing. So, this is one of those characters that you can kind of really dream big, and you can see where you can do more outside the book. So I definitely have been looking in those directions.
I do, too, because this is really a good character out there, Eugenia Patterson. I mean, you just really get involved with her and the people that she surrounds. Remember that Snoopy neighbor person in your neighborhood, you know, how she is a character, and you visualize with the big dress on and the apron, and she's walking around the neighborhood pretending that she's walking, but at the same time she's snooping, or you see her peer through the curtains. Now, you have a kitchen thing for this series. Where did this idea come from?
Just for Eugenia herself, she's a Southern cook, so she always loves to be in the kitchen. And these titles just came to me. They always seem to have something related to the kitchen, like Deep Fried Trouble and Oven Baked Secrets. So when I started to think about the visuals for the covers, I was like, this definitely has to be something in the kitchen, which is Miss Eugenia's most favorite place to be. So I hope to be able to continue that with the next couple of books. I have to get a little bit more creative with the other parts of the kitchen.
I like that, too, because in most families, the kitchen is where the conversations begin. You know, all the activity is going on, and everybody gravitates to that. So it's just like that movie, I think, Soul Food. You know, everybody was in the kitchen preparing. Everybody was helping come far and near to help, you know, the grandmother or the mother out. And so I like that of, you know, you said your Oven Baked Secrets. When I saw that title, I said, oh, what is Eugenia Patterson doing now? And so I visualize, again, the strong component of the African-American community where the matriarch is very strong. And she, you know, all her love and everything comes from the kitchen, so that way it also increases her risk of type 2 diabetes, which we know is very prevalent. And over at least 15 million Americans do not know they have it. So this is why I really enjoy your series right here. So you said you have another series coming up on her. Is that true? You got three or four laid out? What's the scope for the future with Eugenia?
Well, I always tell people right now we just have two books in the series, but I kind of see this like an Agatha Christie where I can just maybe just keep going with more stories. I think she has a lot more stories to tell. There's a large cast of characters around her, like her three children. She has two sons and a daughter, and then she has grandchildren, and each one of her children are into some things that she's always being a little bit nosy about. And then there's Amos Jones. That possibility, with them both being widows, are they looking for a second chance at love? And then her next-door neighbor, Miss Louise. So, and I can see where I can bring in so many other characters within the Sugar Creek neighborhood. So I don't put a limit on the number of books. Probably since this one just came out, I don't anticipate doing another Eugenia book until maybe 2016. But I have been looking and asking around about audiobooks because, like we talked earlier, I like to see how much I can bring her to life maybe with voice if I can't do it with visuals yet.
Yes, I'm glad you said audio, because again, that character is just, I don't know, I keep telling my listeners, you got to get her books, The Oven Baked Secrets, and the other one, what's the other one's name too, Ty? The other one?
Deep Fried Trouble. Mm-hmm.
Deep Fried Trouble. I like the titles. I like the cover. It's very colorful. It just draws you in. She really draws you in to the characters. And so my question always is to an author, because, you know, we took writing in school and you try to develop dialogue, you know, between one or two characters. But you also, like you said, about five or six characters. How do you know to draw and how to know who to come, who to talk to? How, I mean, to me, if it difficult to have so many characters in a book, each with his own unique style. But for you, how do you do that?
Well, it takes a little bit of work. One of the things I have to say is I do, because I write mysteries and suspense, I do outline. So I'm not a seat of a pants writer where I kind of sit there and let it flow. I kind of think about the story and the plot ahead of time, and I may sit down and outline the first 10 chapters and get a feel for who should be in those chapters and what should they be doing and how important they are for the overall plot. So I do a lot of strategy and a lot of thinking. And before, I'm a great lover of reading mysteries and suspense, but it wasn't until I decided to write that I realized it's a lot of work. You have to figure out what parts to put the red herrings, where you kind of try to drive people away from who actually did it. You know, try to have all these suspects. So it's some strategy to it. I really can't just sit down and write it and expect it to come together.
Yeah, there are a lot of characters. Now, for those like me or out there, what words can you give for authors who are just starting out? What are your words, encouragement?
I will definitely work on the craft of writing. I think in this day of independent publishing, don't focus so much on, oh, yeah, I can, you know, publish the book myself. It's about making sure that product is a quality product, that is a product that you can sell for years to come, that writing's tight, and that when you readers do pick it up, they don't see anything other than how well that story was written or how well that nonfiction book was written, so that they become a fan of yours, that the next time you get a book, they know you have solid writing and they can go back to you again and again. So I would say, you know, really study the craft. Every time I pick up a book, even though I've written a couple of books, it's always a new experience. It's always, you know, that first draft, you know, some things don't sound right, some things don't quite work. It's always a process of growing. So also just, you know, be determined with growing in your writing.
True. So therefore you suggest going to conferences, taking up writing classes, sitting with other writers?
You can definitely do it in a number of ways. I encourage if you can join a local writers group, if you don't mind being in critique groups. You know, you have to develop a skin for that. Learning to maybe develop a group of beta readers if you're about to publish something, having a group of people you can always count on to give you feedback about your work, maybe just investing in a good editor, someone who you can always go to and ask questions. There's lots of different ways, conferences, there's all kind of ways you can grow as a writer.
Right, and it's, for me, I'm constantly learning, but it's just that writing was never my forte, so I do write, for those who out there who are like me, I do write, but I do have a good editor who constantly asks me questions and then turn around, now do a positive critique, you know, she's not putting me down, but she can also turn words into just flow, and that's, you also can just take those words and just, I mean, just it just flows off the paper, and that's, I guess, the best part. When you have a book, you want it just to flow and gravitate to that reader so you can grasp and get that reader involved so they can get to the next one. That is true. So you, an author, an award-winning author, and also a teacher as well. I mean, is there a certain time that you set aside writing? Because, believe me, you constantly are writing, you know, constantly.
Well, yeah, I'm a bit of a night owl, so I probably do most of my writing in the evening because I do work during the day, and I also run a business on the side. I kind of have to block out my times. I can't say I write every day or every month, but when I know that I want to put a book out, like I want to release a book in a couple of months, I'm going to try try to block out at least 3 months. I can usually write a book in about 3 months. So I will maybe not take on other projects. I might have to say no a couple of times, but I know if I'm going to make my deadlines, I just need to focus on it and write every day. Usually the weekends, it might be an all-day thing on Saturday and Sunday afternoon.
That's true. I know folks up there, she turned me down one time to do a website or something. And I said, okay, Ty, you're involved with your writing, and you have to. You have to do set a time, a day or an hour or two. And I tell some of my friends that, you know, set aside if you got to do just 1 hour and just write. It doesn't have to be correct, you know, grammar. Just get into the mood of writing. So this literary entrepreneurial toolkit, is this for writers, this toolkit you have?
Yes, I designed it for writers, authors, anyone who's in the business of writing. I've had other entrepreneurs tell me it's been helpful to them as well. But, you know, over the past couple of years with Tyler McCreations, I've come across so many authors. And unfortunately for me, I get some of the same questions over and over again sometimes. So I decided, you know, it's time to put together a book when people ask me, you know, how do I handle Twitter? How do I handle Facebook? You know, how do I feel about blogging? What's my schedule process? I thought, well, I can just put this all in a book. So that's what the Literary Entrepreneurial Toolkit is. It's the place for any writer, whether you're a beginning writer or you know, been around a while and you find book marketing frustrating. I try to give you some pointers of where to start to develop your online presence and some ideas on, you know, how to develop a little bit of a plan for each book release that you do.
Now, what about an agent, too? I mean, do you have an agent, and how can an author get an agent?
Yes, I do have an agent. I didn't have an agent when I first started out. I pitched my debut novel at a conference and received a book deal without an agent at the time. But later on, when I went to get another book deal, then I felt like it was time to acquire someone to help me navigate that process. So mine came after the fact. But in this day and age, it's not really necessary to have an agent unless you're trying to really pursue that traditional public route. And a lot of people who are traditionally published are in that hybrid mode, like myself. Like Miss Eugenia is an independently published project. I publish it under my own publishing company, and then I have a book series that's published under Urban Christian. So if you feel like you want to pursue traditional publishing, you definitely have to have an agent to get you in the door in most places.
Okay. That's really good. Now, getting back to Eugenia Patterson, where can they get, you know, her, you know, that book from?
Well, you can definitely, if you're interested in downloading or getting an autographed copy, you can go to tyoramoody.com and order an autographed copy, or you can definitely go anywhere online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's available on all the e-readers such as Kindle, Nook, Kobo, and iBook.
Wow, you're available everywhere. Eugenia's just getting out there, boy. I mean, she's really cooking up a storm. I should say baking up a storm there. That is so good. It's so good about these books, because really, listeners out there, I really like the color. I really like to get into the character. You got to get it. Oven Baked Secrets is such a good book. Even the previous one was very good. It kept me engaged for those 2 hours, and I was really surprised of what happened at the end. I had it focused on somebody else, and bam, it was totally different, totally different. So with all these books and everything that you have, what is your next thing in your life? Because are you going to be just focusing it totally on writing and being, you know, that's your income, or there's something else, you know, that you're going to do?
Well, I definitely have, over the past couple of years, I still have my Tyler & Creations business, which is mostly, I've had a lot of services with that business, and I have let a lot of them go, like web design. I actually stopped doing virtual book tours, but I still like to focus on doing things that I really enjoy, like helping people with book covers. But writing at this stage in my life, the past 3 years, that's kind of where I'm heading. The biggest thing I'm working on now is my second nonfiction project, and that's the anthology. And I'm really excited about that because I get the opportunity to help some women who have never been published, who are writing something for the first time, kind of pull that together in this compilation. So I'm really excited about that project, and it'll be out in June of this year.
Now, when you say anthology, explain to my listeners what that means.
It's kind of a grouping of, it could be a grouping of short stories from different people, maybe with a common theme. And this particular book is a group of women, almost 20 women, and it's specifically about female entrepreneurs. The title of it is When Women Become Business Owners. So each of them focused on telling their story, their downhill, the challenges of trying to be an entrepreneur, sometimes with a day job. So it's a collection of stories with a common theme, I think is the best way I can describe an anthology.
Okay, so it's a collection of people coming together to make one complete book with a common theme. And then the mystery is, I guess when people think of mystery, they think of something sort of like a plot to it, and maybe something happened, death, you know. So when they talk about mysteries, right?
Yeah, it's kind of usually always a whodunit factor to a mystery. And then I also write suspense novels. Suspenses are a little bit different. You may have a whodunit factor, but sometimes with suspense, you can see who the villain is, whereas the main character doesn't know who the villain is. So that's kind of the differences between mystery and suspense.
Wow, I'm learning a lot tonight because I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all. Gee. Okay, mystery, suspense, anthology. Oh, and then you're going to continue writing and helping other authors. This is really great because, like I said, I learned a lot from you. I'm still learning, and so you have your groups. So do you encourage my listeners out there to get into small groups and help one another, so like a mastermind group, so they can get forward like you do?
Oh, yes, definitely. The small groups that I have had the opportunity to be in or be a facilitator of in the past few years, you kind of need someone or a group of people to help you be accountable. And sometimes, you know, whether you're an author or entrepreneur, it can be very solo. You can feel alone sometimes. So it's good to connect to someone else who's going through something similar to you, and you can talk to each other, maybe give each other ideas and brainstorm. So I definitely encourage having a small group, whether it's locally or online.
Yes, I do too. I find that they make you responsible. You got to do your homework, because when that telephone rings or when you send out an email saying to meet, you look at it and say, uh-oh, I got to do my homework, you know. So it keeps you abreast and keep your knowledge and keep you informed, like you said, with each thing. Now, with, like I said, with all this going on, you get the full time and you got your writing and everything going on. What about the young people? We got about 20 seconds. Some of your books have a certain age, or it's for adult women only?
Well, I kind of write for maybe from 28 to up to over 60. But I have had young people read my books because I write Christian fiction. My books are mysteries, but they are under the Christian fiction genre, so they're clean. You're not going to find anything in there that you wouldn't want your teenager to read. So, and I have had parents tell me that their child has read one of my books.
Oh, good. Well, we got about 20 seconds, so can you give me at least one thing you want to sign off to let my listeners know about you?
I just love what I do, and if they want to know more about me, just go to tyoramoody.com.
Repeat that again, please, your website.
Oh, it's Tyora Moody, TyoraMoody.com, TyoraMoody.com.
And I want to thank you because really, truly, again, it's a blessing. I seem like I've known you for a long time. I said I was going to stalk you, meaning stalking, I mean getting all the information out of her, because she's really, truly a brilliant writer. brilliant, beautiful friend, professional. You just love her. And Ty, I wish you all the success. You are just going to be out there, and you're going to be, obviously, Eugenia Patterson, really into a movie, like you said, you know, like a Saturday night special, you know. I really see that, and I'm glad to have known you, and I will continue our friendship. Thank you very much for coming on here, Transformation to Give Up the Struggle, where you have inspired us and my other listeners.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Renee. It's been a blast. I love being on your show today.
Thank you, thank you. And you take care.
You too.
Listen to Renee Wiggins of Blog Talk Radio, Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, next week for more fabulous tips on nutrition, fitness, and stress management.